Let's bow in prayer once again before we look at God's Word. Our God, we do bow before You and ask for Your help in this hour. We ask that as we approach Your Word, that You would make it abundantly clear to us, that You would display Your truth to us, and that all present in this room would bow their knees to Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You that You have exalted Him. We pray that during this time, we all could join in praising and honoring Him. We ask that You would not glorify us, that You would not exalt us, but that He would be exalted in this place. Father, as we look into Your Word, help us to see more of Him, and help us to live in light of the truth. We praise You and thank You for being a gracious God. We pray these things in the name of our Savior. Amen. Well, please look with me, if you will, at Psalm 19 this evening. Psalm 19. Before I read this psalm for us, and before we look at this psalm tonight, imagine with me first that you were to meet a stranger one day. Maybe in line at the bank, maybe at a restaurant, maybe picking up your kids from school. You meet a stranger, and for some reason you both are waiting on something, and you start a general conversation. You have some similarities, so the conversation goes okay, seems friendly, that he or she seems friendly. After about 5 minutes of nice conversation, the person leans over to you and whispers, "I hear voices." I think all of us would say, "Well, what? You hear voices?" And then they respond, "Well, the sky speaks to me. I hear voices from the sky." I think for all of us, the conversation would probably end quite abruptly. We probably would think of something else to do. Instead of waiting for whatever we were waiting for, we would probably move on to something else. But here in Psalm 19, in the first 6 verses, David describes a world in which nature speaks. And this isn't a figurative world. This isn't Narnia. This is the world we live in. Now, to be fair, David is writing Hebrew poetry. He is being figurative. He's using his imagination to describe the world we live in, but he is saying in a figurative way, with his imagination, that nature speaks. He writes that the heavens proclaim the glory of God, and that the sky displays the craftsmanship of this God. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The world we live in, that we all live in, is communicating something to us, something to all of us. Communication is going on. We must listen to the voices of creation. We must listen. Look, I'll read the whole psalm, Psalm 19, for us. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. This is the word of our God. This evening, I would like to focus our attention on the first six verses of Psalm 19. And I would like to look at these six verses under four simple headings. Number one, the speakers. Where are these voices coming from? Where is this speech coming from? Who are the speakers that David is referring to here? Number two, the times. When do we hear the voices? When does this speech take place? When does it happen? Number three, the audience, who hears the message? And number four, most importantly, the message. What is this message of proclamation? What message? What is being communicated by these speakers? So first, the speakers. Where are these voices, we could call them figuratively, where are these voices coming from? Where is this speech coming from? It is important for us to identify the speakers so that we can understand if we're listening to their message. We won't know if we're listening to their message if we don't know who is speaking. Are we hearing what they are saying? This is a question we all have to ask. Are we listening to them? Well, who are they? These speakers often get drowned out in the midst of the noise and the confusion of the suburban life in which we live. And even if in our past we have heard these speakers before, so often we grow dull of hearing. We get distracted. We start to listen to other things. We don't listen to these speakers anymore. So many of us are too busy listening to other things. So who are the speakers? David says in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." So who are the speakers? Who are the speakers? The heavens, the firmament, David says. They are proclaiming a message. As a person would proclaim a message, the heavens above are proclaiming a message. When he uses the word heavens and firmament, he is referring to the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. The sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky are proclaiming a message. They're proclaiming a message. The awe-inspiring starlit sky, the full moon at night, the glorious sunrise or sunset is proclaiming, communicating a message. And they are not attracting glory to themselves. The moon, the stars, the sun, they are not attracting glory to themselves. They are pointing away from themselves. They are proclaiming a message about someone else. It is as if they are saying, not unto us. Don't look at us. We may be glorious. As the sun, I may be very glorious, but don't just look at me. They're proclaiming something about someone else. They are proclaiming the glory of God. Cultures have worshipped the sun. The Egyptians, we know, worshipped the sun god Ra. They built the pyramids with a point, pointing up to the sun. They built the pyramids to reflect the glory of the sun. But they missed something. They stopped at the sun. They didn't worship the God of the sun. They didn't worship the creator of the sun. The sun is very impressive. I could spout off a number of facts about the glory of the sun, and we could all be in awe of the sun. But the sun would say, no, that's not my point. I'm proclaiming a message about someone else. I'm proclaiming a message about the one who made me, the one who upholds me, the one who by the word of his mouth could simply cause me to disappear, proclaiming a message about someone else. So the sun, the moon, and the stars, David says, they declare, they tell a story, they give a picture of the glory of God. They're communicating a message. So these are the speakers. Simple. The sun, the moon, the stars are proclaiming a message. These are the speakers. This is where the voices are coming from. Secondly, when do they communicate? If the speakers are the sun, the moon, and the stars, when do they communicate? David says, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Day unto day, night unto night. They are constantly delivering their message. There never is a time where we have to wait for them to speak. There is never a time that we have to wait for the next show time, the next proclamation time. Day unto day, night unto night, they are constantly delivering their message. It never stops. They are always proclaiming this message. In the original Hebrew, this phrase of day unto day uttering speech and night unto night revealing knowledge, David in his poetic mind is pointing us to a stream that is ever flowing, that is gushing forth, that never dries out. David is saying that the sun, the moon, and the stars are constantly proclaiming the glory of God. It is gushing forth. It will never stop. It has always gone out. This proclamation has always gone out throughout the history of the world. It never stops. We never have to wait to listen to it. We don't have to wait in line. It is never ending, always going on. This message is being proclaimed. There has never been a moment in the history of the human race when the heavens were not proclaiming their message. It's constant. Speakers, sun, moon, and stars, the time, all the time, unending. Number three, the audience. The audience. Who hears the voices or who hears the message? Who hears this? David says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Who's the audience? That first phrase, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, could be taken in two different ways. Some translations say there is no speech nor language, their voice is not heard. In the sense, this isn't a verbal language. Well, we know that. It's not a verbal language. We're not really hearing voices. We're not hearing these voices in the sky. That's not what David is saying. So it could be taken in that sense. This proclamation, this message is going forth, and David could be saying, but it's not really words. We're not really hearing audible voices, which is good. We're not hearing voices. Or it could be taken along with the second phrase. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Yes, it's not audible, but there's no place where this voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, David says, and their words to the end of the world. So who's the audience? Who hears this proclamation? South Florida? United States of America? No, every single person on the face of the globe hears their message. From the yuppie in Malibu, California, to the old native in Papua New Guinea, all hear and can understand this message. From the little girl in Huna, Alaska, to the little boy in Honolulu, all hear this message. This message is constantly being delivered to all men, women, and boys and girls. Constantly being delivered. All hear it. No matter what culture, language, age, all are receiving this communication. The audience is universal. I think this is amazing if we think about it. Whenever someone is given the task of proclaiming a message, it's important to know at least something about the audience. It's important to know who you're trying to communicate to. You cannot effectively communicate to just anyone just by standing up and speaking if you don't know certain things about your audience, like how old they are or what language they speak. You can't communicate to them. If my task this evening was to communicate only to the children in the church from ages 3 to 5, my method would change, my content would change, my approach would change. If that was my target audience, just children aged 3 to 5, it would change a little. And even more so if it was just children 3 to 5 that only speak Spanish. I would have to change my message. I couldn't deliver it. I don't know Spanish. But I would have to, the person who was communicating to that audience would have to change the way they communicate. God is able, in his wisdom, to speak in such a way, to communicate in such a way to every culture, every language, every age. This message goes forth. Every single person receives this communication, this message. You don't have to be able to read to understand it. You don't even have to be able to speak to understand this message that has gone forth, that is going forth. This is the very gracious provision of God. This is a picture for us of God's grace. There is a message that is going forth from the sun, the moon, and the stars. It is going forth constantly, proclaiming a message about the characteristics of our God. It's going out constantly, and it's going out universally. Every single person on the planet receives this message. This should point us, this should cause us to stand and wonder at the wisdom of God and the grace of God. It's a universal message. But fourthly, before we apply that, if the message is universal, we see, as Paul says in Romans 1, there is no man without excuse, and we will get to that. But most importantly, what is the message that is going forth? The sun, the moon, the stars are communicating a message. This message is gushing out, going out constantly. It's going out to the whole world. Well, what are they saying? It's important to know what the message is. The heavens are proclaiming the glory of God. And the firmament above tells of his craftsmanship, his handiwork. The heavens, the sun, moon, and stars are proclaiming the glory of God. They are communicating to mankind. They are communicating his glory. They are telling us something about God. They are showing us something about God. If I were to come up to any of you, individually, I come up to you and say, I have to tell you something. I have to say something to you. And let's say I have to tell you something about my job. I have to describe something to you about my job. My point in doing that is I come to you and I try to explain my job so that when we end our communication, you go away understanding what I do. You understand what my job is. That's my point. Communication takes place. When you first come up to me, you don't know what I do. You wonder what I do. I tell you what I do, you go away, you understand what I do. Communication has happened. The heavens are telling us something. The heavens are communicating a message. They are proclaiming a message. And when we receive the communication from the heavens, the proclamation of the heavens, we understand more about God. We understand God. We understand something of the glory of God, the greatness of God, the grandeur of God. Communication, proclamation is going forth. But why do we have to listen? Why is it important to listen to this message? What is that to us, to listen to this message of the glory of God? The glory of God is his weightiness, we have learned. The glory of God speaks of his transcendence or otherness. He is not like us. He's not like us. God is not like us. He is eternal. We have had a beginning. He is the creator. We are creatures. He is immortal. We are frail and mortal creatures. He is so different than we are. He's so different than we are. We don't decide if he exists. We don't have the option of choosing if he rules this world or not. He is God. Who are we to choose that? He is completely other. And this is the message of the sun, the moon, and the stars. They are declaring this message to us. The sun is saying, yes, I am glorious, but consider the one who has made me. Consider the one who has set me in place. Consider the one who, with the word of his mouth, could cause me to disappear. This is God. The heavens are proclaiming of this God. David gives the illustration of the sun in the second part of verse 4 through verse 6. He says, God in them, he, God, has set a tabernacle for the sun. which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. There's nothing hidden from its heat. It is so many miles away, yet we cannot look at it. It may be small from here at times. We could put it between our two fingers, but it is so massive. We are all just peons compared to the sun. The sun is telling us something. The sun is saying, someone made me. Someone spoke me into existence. Pastor Dikema read for us a familiar passage, Genesis chapter 1. But it's a profound passage. To consider what God says in Genesis chapter 1, listen with me, verses 14 through 19. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Just a few short verses to describe how the sun, the moon, and the stars were created. In one day, God created. God spoke, they were there. They came into existence. God spoke and they were there. I think it's so interesting how almost just at the end, oh, by the way, he made the stars also. Galaxy after galaxy after galaxy. Oh, he made the stars also. This is our God. He is completely other than us. The heavens declare the glory of God. He's so much bigger than we think. So often we slip into this minuscule view of God. He is so small. But he is so much bigger than we think. And the heavens are constantly proclaiming this message to all men. Look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the stars. The heavens are proclaiming what? They're proclaiming the glory of God, the otherness, the transcendence, the weightiness, the might of God. The heavens are proclaiming this constantly. So again, young man, young woman, why is this important? Why does this matter? What is this to us? The sun, the moon, the stars are proclaiming this message. Why is this important to us? Whether we are young or old or in between, maybe. Some would say in between. Why do we need to hear this message? We are not God. We are not the end. We are created beings. There is a creator. That is the way that it is. That is the truth. There is a creator. We are creatures. And we must see his greatness. It is essential for us to understand the proclamation of the heavens. It is essential for us to understand. We must remember our creator in the days of our youth and throughout our days. We must remember our creator. This is so essential for all of us. We must understand that we didn't create ourselves. We don't exist by ourselves. There is a creator who spoke the world into existence, who spoke the sun into existence, the moon, and also the stars, and each one of us. There is a creator. We must remember this creator. We must acknowledge this creator. Nothing would be better for us than to acknowledge the creator. To acknowledge the creator in the days of our youth and throughout our days, to acknowledge him. And come in humility to him. The heavens are proclaiming the glory of God. The glory of God constantly going forth. The second part of the verse, David says that the sky, the firmament, displays or models or shows God's craftsmanship or workmanship. So the message is going forth. God is a God of glory. God is a God completely other. He is nothing like us. He is so much greater than us. He is a creator. We are creatures. The message is going forth. But also the sky, the stars, the sun and the moon, the stars, they display, they show that this God is an artist. He's a craftsman. They display his craftsmanship. This isn't a bland world we live in. It's not. It's a world of variety. It's a world of beauty. We all know that. All men know that. It's a universal message. All men know that. Even just yesterday, as I was checking a few basketball scores, yesterday. I wasn't. We noticed, Suzanne and I noticed that there's a special on the Discovery Channel. A special, and it was just a 30-second clip going from scene after scene, not computer-animated scenes made up by men, no. Scene after scene of this world. And I stood there just amazed. Yes, I was studying the message, but I just stood there amazed, looking at these different pictures of the world. We don't have to travel to see it. We have the privilege of seeing on TV different parts of this world. And we are not just to stand and see these parts of the world and say, wow, that is awesome. We're to do that. But then it's as if these parts of the world are pointing, well, wait, someone made us. There's an artist. There's a creator. Look at him. Yes, we are glorious. We are beautiful. But they're pointing to God, who has created all things. He is the craftsman. He is the artist. And when we see the beauty of this world, we cannot stop there. We must look to the creator, the artist. He is completely other. He is a God of glory. We must look to him. We must listen to the message. We must watch the display of the heavens as they proclaim of this great craftsman. And we must enjoy not only creation, but we must enjoy the Creator. Nothing can be better for us than to remember our Creator throughout our days. So this is the message of creation. These are the voices, figuratively, the voices that are going forth. God is a God of glory. And God is an artist, a craftsman who has made this world. But look with me, please, now at Romans chapter 1. Paul expands and applies, many people say, Psalm 19. He's thinking back to Psalm 19. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Paul applies this passage. If he is thinking about this passage, he specifically applies this passage for us. He says in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Well, what truth are they suppressing? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Men who are living ungodly in ways that are without God, unrighteous, not according to God's standard. Men who live in that way, the wrath of God is revealed against them. Why? Because they suppress the truth. What truth are they suppressing? They are holding down, they are pushing down the proclamation of the heavens. They are holding down the message of creation. They're suppressing the truth. They are not admitting it. They see it. They know it, but they are not admitting the truth of the message from the heavens. Verse 19. Paul says, in verse 18, they suppress the truth and unrighteousness because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every man is left without an excuse. No excuse. Everyone hears the message. Remember, it's a universal message. God in his grace has delivered this message to all men. Everyone hears it. Thus, no man is without excuse. If you do not respond to this message, no excuse. Everyone knows. You can look at the world and you know it didn't just happen. It didn't just explode and come into existence. No, there's design. There's an artist. There's a craftsman behind it. It's obvious. There will be no excuse. In verse 21 of Romans 1, Paul says of them that because although they knew God, speaking of all men, they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Every man is left without an excuse because all have heard the message. And if you have not responded to the message, you do not have an excuse. If a man turns and disregards the message that is coming from the sun and the moon and the stars, speaking of the glory of God, this great Creator, if you disregard that message, you have no excuse. If any here disregard the message, you see the creation, you see the glory of God in creation, you kind of just turn away from it. Yeah, I know it's there. I know that what the Bible says is probably true, but there are other things that are more important right now. I need to focus on these things. If you disregard the message, you will have no excuse. Do not suppress the truth. Do not hold down the truth. You know it is the truth. Do not be deaf to the message. When you stand before God, there will not be a time where you say, "Well, I didn't know. There will not be any man standing before God saying, "I didn't know." No. The message has been proclaimed universally. No man will have an excuse. Every man's mouth will be stopped before the great Creator, this glorious God. This message did go forth in grace, but you didn't respond at the proper time. There will be no excuses. Now, in order to be clear, we must say that this message of creation is limited. It's called general revelation. It's limited. I'm not saying that the heavens, the sun, moon, and stars are proclaiming about the cross work of Christ. I'm not saying that. They are proclaiming specifically the glory of God and His craftsmanship. It's limited in the sense that it does not tell us of the cross work of Christ. It just tells us of the glory of God. It tells us that we need to be in right relationship with this God. It's important for us to remember this Creator in the sense of honoring Him and doing whatever we can to please Him. It may reveal that to us, but it doesn't reveal to us the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But our God has not stopped at this revelation from the sun, moon, and stars. He has given us, all of us here, He has given us the Word of God. He has given us, as we see in the second part of Psalm 19, the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord which converts the soul. The law of the Lord which enlightens the eyes. He has given us the Word of God. And this is an assumption. I have to say it's an assumption. I think it's a good assumption. That if any man receives the natural revelation, the general revelation, the message of the heavens, if any man receives that and humbly says, "I want to be in right relationship with this God, I want to serve this God," I think we can assume, and I am saying it's an assumption, that God in His grace would give that person the message of redemption, the message of the cross. I have no verse to cite. That is an assumption. But I think it's an assumption based on the grace of God. The message of the sun, moon, and stars, if that is received in humility, will God not send the message of the Jesus Christ crucified to them? It's an assumption. So Psalm 19, 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. There is nothing hidden from its heat. In our remaining time, I would like to specifically point to application of this text. I think it's easy for this text to be just an academic exercise, but I think it is so practical for us. Day unto day, night unto night, we hear the message, all of us. We see, we hear the message of creation. There is practical application for us. First, this is important. The Bible describes Jesus Christ as the Creator of this world. The message of the sun, moon, and stars is the glory of God and this message of the great Creator. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the great Creator. Jesus Christ is the one who spoke this world into existence. But Jesus Christ, we know, is the one who humbled Himself to the point of crucifixion. Jesus Christ is the one who came into this world as a man and humbled himself to the point of crucifixion on a Roman cross. He's the creator of all things, yet he humbled himself. This is the beautiful message of the Bible. When we see more and more and more of the glory of God, the greatness of God, the otherness of God, and then we consider this glorious God became man and was crucified, bore the wrath of God for me. This is the message of Christianity. And what a wonderful message. Pastor Fisher, for our call to worship, read Colossians chapter 1. In verses 15 through 18, speaking of Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The heavens are proclaiming the glory of Christ, and our desire that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the great creator. Hebrews chapter 1 says that Christ was the one through whom he made the worlds. In John chapter 1, we are told that the Word, Jesus Christ, was the one that all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Without him, Jesus Christ, nothing was made that was made. He is this glorious Creator. David writes that the sun is of such a nature that nothing is hidden from its heat. And we are told that Jesus Christ is the one who established the sun. He created the sun. Jesus Christ created the sun. And if the sun is of such a nature that nothing is hidden from its heat, and Jesus Christ created the sun, nothing is hidden from Jesus Christ. He knows all things. He is the maker of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. We cannot hide from him. Jesus Christ is so much bigger than we think. He is this glorious God. We must submit to him. He has been raised from the dead and seated at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and above every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, not just in the church, but over all things. He's given him to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is to be preeminent because he is this glorious God who has created all things. And God has put him in a place of exaltation. The heavens are proclaiming a message. They're proclaiming a message about the glory of God and about this Creator God. And the Bible tells us specifically that Jesus Christ is the one who has created and has redeemed. He is to be preeminent. Second point of application, as we have noticed, the fact that God reveals himself to us in any way is God's grace. The fact of general revelation, this message of creation that goes forth, is simply God's grace to us, to all men. No man is left without excuse, yes, but every man hears the message. Everyone hears the message. We do not have to think of the native in Papua New Guinea and think, oh, poor man, he hasn't heard the message. He has heard the message of creation. He has heard the proclamation of the glory of God, and he has done something with it. Every man has heard. What a gracious God to communicate to all men. He leaves no men in the dark. No one is left in the dark. They hear the message of creation. This is the grace and wisdom of God. Number three, we read the psalm. David wrote the psalm. He wrote this poem, this song, for the covenant people of God. He wrote this so that they could worship God. As we read and study the psalm, should we not worship and delight in this God who has done these things? This was David's attempt. This is what David was trying to do. Promote worship in the covenant community. as we read it, let us worship and delight in the one who is this glorious God who has created all things by the word of his mouth. He has brought all things into existence. Let us praise him and worship him all our days. Day unto day, night unto night, as we see the creation, as we see the sun, as we see the moon, as we see the stars, let us worship him again and again and again. And as much as this revelation is going forth, gushing forth again and again, as it goes forth, may we join in the exaltation, the praise of Jesus Christ as it goes forth. We can join into that. David is calling us to join into that and praise Jesus Christ. Number four, this message, this proclamation of creation is the introduction, we could say, to the second part of Psalm 19. David goes on to say that the law of God does all these things. He uses different subjects to describe the law, the word of God. He says the law of God converts the soul. The law of God makes wise the simple. The law of God rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes. He says that in keeping the law of God, there is great reward. And this message of creation, this proclamation of the sun, moon, and stars is kind of a foundation or an introduction to the very word of God, the special revelation of the word of God. And as we see the proclamation of creation, as we see the proclamation of the heavens, we then come to the word of God and think, oh God, how gracious you are to show us yourself in the written word of God. We see it in creation. We respond in humility and delight that God would do that. But even more so, he has given us his word, where we can understand so much more about the glory of God, this great creator God, and this God who has become our redeemer. We delight in the word of God. Final point of application. God clearly shows us that he cares about nature. He sustains nature. He sustains the sun in its place, the moon and the stars. He's made them, but he sustains them. He keeps them in their place. And if God has gives such careful attention to this created world, as Jesus says, will he not care for us, his children? Will he not care for us? Jesus tells us not to worry about this life. Don't worry about what you eat, he says. Don't worry about your clothes. God takes care of creation. God sustains the world around you. He will take care of you. Yes, this God is a God of glory. He is completely other. He is transcendent. He is so glorious. We have such a small view of God compared to what he is. But this God cares for you, his children, and he will care for you. This is our God. As Jesus looks at the nature around him and points the people to the birds and the flowers around him, as we look at nature, let us consider the same things. This God will care for us. He will guide us. He will direct us. He will help us. He will not leave us by ourselves. This is our God. So the question for tonight, for all of us, is, have you heard the voices? Have you heard the message? Have you heard the proclamation of creation? I know you have. I can say, I know you have. You have heard them. You have heard the message. You may be suppressing it. You may be pushing it back in foolishness. But the heavens are proclaiming something. The sky is displaying something about God. God is an eternal God. He is the God of eternal power. He is the God of divine nature, the immortal God. You have heard the message. Don't stop up your ears to the message. Listen to it. Listen to the message. Don't reinterpret the message as if it's saying something else. It's clear. It's obvious. And when you stand before this great Creator, this glorious God, when you stand before him, you will have no excuse. Your mouth will be stopped in silence. You won't say, well, I didn't know it was really true. I didn't know this about you. No, God says, I displayed myself in grace clearly to you. I am a God of glory. I am the creator of all things. If we do not submit to him now, we will have no excuse when we stand before him on the final day. Think of what excuses you could have. Well, my friends thought it was kind of stupid to acknowledge you. My friend, they just thought it was kind of stupid. We shouldn't do that yet. We should wait till we get a little older. Do you see the glory of God in creation? When you look at this beautiful world, do you see something of the nature, the characteristics of God? He set the sun in the sky. By his word, it could just disappear. We couldn't do that. He's completely other. He's so different than us. We must submit to him. We must submit to him. We cannot suppress this truth. We cannot shut our ears to the message. We must submit. God says through the prophet Isaiah, and I just want to read these verses in closing. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, you command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. My hands stretch out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. He has proclaimed his message. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? He's measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls all the stars by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. We must listen to the message of the heavens, and we must submit to Christ, the creator of all things. Do not suppress it. Do not suppress it. Let's bow in prayer. Our God, we bow and thank you for your grace in proclaiming the message of the heavens to us. Oh God, we praise you that you are a God of grace. We thank you for bringing us all tonight to gather around your written special revelation to us. We thank you that in it we see Christ, we see the glory of Christ, and we see the humility of Christ in becoming a curse for us, for bearing your wrath for us. Oh God, I lift up all here who have not bowed the knee to him and ask that you would cause them to submit to Christ. We praise you, Father, that one day we will all stand around you and do nothing but proclaim your greatness and your glory. Again, we pray that Jesus Christ would be praised. Amen.